ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय This morning will be texts 16 and 17. 16 has no purport. Canto 10, chapter 25. That's on the, that's 15. 16. In the future, did you write the verse? In the future, write the verse that has the purport.
Tatra prati vidhim samyag Atma yogena sadhaye Lokesha maninam maudyad Dhanishye Shri Madam Tamaha Tatra Prativadhim Samyak Atma Yogena Sadhaye Lokesha Maninam Maudhyad Dhanishye Shri Madam Tamaha. Yatra prati vidhim samyag. Atma yogena sadhaye. Lokesha maninam maudhyad. Dhanishye Shri Madam Tamaha Tatra Prati Vidhim Samyag Atma Yogena Sadhaye Lokesha Maninam Maudhyad Dhanishye Shri Madam Tamaha Tatra prati vidhim samyag Atma yogena sadhaye Lokesha maninam maudhyad Dhanishye Shri Madam Tamaha Tatra prati vidhim samyag Atma yogena sadhaye Lokesha maninam maudhyad Dhanishye Shri Madam Tamaha Tatra In that regard Prati vidhim Counteracting measures Samyak Properly. Atma yogena. By my mystic power. Satyaye. I shall arrange. Loka isha. Lords of the world. Maninam. Of those who falsely consider themselves. Maudyad, out of foolishness. Hanishye, I shall defeat. Shri Madam, their pride in opulence. Tamaha,
the ignorance. Purport. Oh, it's a translation. By my mystic power, I will completely counteract this disturbance caused by Indra. Demigods like Indra are proud of their opulence. And out of foolishness, they falsely consider themselves the Lord of this universe. I will now destroy such ignorance. Now, there's no purport here, but there's commentary, so I'm going to read the commentary.
And then we'll go to the next verse.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, I will remedy the situation through my yoga maya potency, Atma Yoga. I will remove this false pride in power, in the mode of ignorance, by which they think themselves as lords. This verse refers not only to Indra, but also to Vayu and others who assisted him. And Jiva Goswami writes, I will counteract this completely by showing the glory of Govardhan while giving happiness to all. The present tense is used for the near future. I will do this by my yoga maya, my natural energy. I will destroy pride in wealth of the controllers of planets arising from foolishness. The plural is used, lokesha mani nam, to indicate that by punishing Indra, he would teach other leaders. Sanatana Goswami writes, I will counteract this completely by showing the glory of Govardhan while giving happiness to all. I will destroy the pride in wealth arising from foolishness of those who think that he is the Lord of the world. I will do this by my own method, lifting Govardhan as a pastime. There's an additional Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur commentary which says, Krishna said, or actually he thought, I will remedy the situation through my mystic potency Atma Yogena, being falsely pride of their power due to the mode of ignorance. These demigods think of themselves as lords. I will now destroy this ignorance. Okay, so now we're going to go to text 17, translation. Since the demigods are endowed with the mode of goodness, the false pride of considering oneself the Lord should certainly not affect them. When I break the false prestige of those bereft of goodness, my purpose is to bring them relief. There's a ring back. Can you fix the ring back, Shravan? Purport. The demigods are supposed to be sadbhava yukta, endowed with spiritual existence, since they are deputed servants of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 4:24 it is stated, Brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagna brahmanahutam brahmaiva tena gantavyam brahma karma samadhina. Quote, that which is duly offered to the Lord becomes spiritualized. The demigods engage in the devotional service of the Lord by managing various departments of cosmic administration. Therefore, as demigods or as servants of the Lord, their existence is pure, sadbhava. When the demigods fail to live up to the high position given them by the Lord and deviate from proper behavior, they are not acting as demigods, but rather as conditioned souls. Paragraph. Mana, or false prestige, is certainly an anxiety-ridden burden for the conditioned soul. Falsely proud, a falsely proud person is not truly peaceful or satisfied because his understanding of himself is false and inflated. When a servant of the Lord becomes asat or irreligious, the Lord saves him from impiety by breaking the false prestige that has led him to be offensive or sinful. As stated by the Lord himself, yasyaham anugranami harishye tad dhanam shanai. That's 1088.8. I give my blessings to a person by taking away his so-called opulence. Celebrated verse, Prabhupada made reference to it regularly. Interesting sound effects here. Why is it making that noise? No idea. Okay. Of course, final paragraph. Of course, the advanced stage of devotional service to the Lord, as described by Rupa Goswami, is Yukta Vairagya, utilizing the opulence of this world to execute the Lord's mission. Obviously, the things of this world can be used wonderfully to spread the glories of God and to create a godly society. And a more advanced devotee, Karunaniti, stop. A more advanced devotee will not be seduced by material paraphernalia, but will dutifully and honestly engage it soberly for the pleasure of the Lord. In this particular case, Lord Indra forgot that he was a humble servant of God, and Lord Krishna therefore arranged to bring this bewildered demigod to his senses. And there's three very short commentaries. Vishwanath, out of spite, I will not completely crush this weak Indra, but I will correct this fault which has arisen in my devotee. With this intention, he speaks this verse. Jiva Goswami writes, I will break the pride of those who do evil actions out of pride to create auspiciousness. The devatas in sattva should not have great pride in thinking they are lords, because pride in thinking themselves the lords is not suitable. Since they are endowed with respect for me, I will create auspiciousness for them. Breaking their pride, I will create auspiciousness. Since they have sentiments for me, even though they are intoxicated with pride, no one else can do this. It can be accomplished by a manifestation of my powers. And then finally in Kramasandarbha, Jiva Goswami says, short sentence here, Since, same thing, since the devatas are endowed with sentiments for me and should not have false pride of considering themselves lords, I will break their false prestige to create auspiciousness for them. Only I can do this. Yesterday, a major part of what we heard and discussed was the impact of the fury that Indra was exhibiting on the residents of Vrindavan. Fear for their lives and anxiety and, you know, all those things that happen when there's like a horrible situation. And we heard Krishna was arranging and protecting and then withdrawing the difficulty. So Indra can't do what Indra did without, even he's king of heaven, without the sanction of the Supreme Lord. So how can the Supreme Lord sanction something that puts the devotees into difficulty? And so we heard about that. And now the focus is shifting. The focus is shifting to the pride of Indra. And when we hear about the hear the description of the pastime in general, just a general notion about the pastime is Krishna curbs the pride of Indra. And certainly that was an intention. And there's multiple intentions. We discussed that yesterday also. By doing one thing, the Supreme Lord is very expert. He achieved many things. So curbing the pride of Indra. And then we're hearing in this verse here, Lokesha Maninam. Lokesha is plural. The rulers of universe. So two things. There were persons, Indra couldn't do what he did without Vayu's assistance, the wind. And second is, there was a lesson being imparted to others who may also think themselves lords. And then, you know, for us, there's such a tendency to think ourselves as lords. We've all heard Prabhupada explain elaborately, there's Isha and Parameshwara, we're all lords of something. And then those who are lords of something have someone above them, and ultimately there's the Lord of Lords, Para Isha, or Para Brahman, etc. So demigods are given enormous power. And they have affinity, natural affinity, to use this power in service to Krishna. Yeah, a very nice example of this. Of course, he's not in the category of demigod, but Lord Brahma, when in Canto 2, Chapter 9, when he's invited by Lord Vishnu to ask for benedictions, one of the benedictions he asks for is this one. That is, please let... That's not business as usual. So we're restricted by the circumstance. And it helps us to appreciate more what we may take for granted. That is, the value of association of the devotees and etc. Nice kirtan, be able to have gatherings, and we're supposed to not have gatherings beyond a certain number and so forth. So being restricted helps us not take things for granted. And being restricted may help us understand we shouldn't be proud. And we've all experienced being proud, we've all experienced being restricted. So how do we look to Krishna when it comes to that situation? The God-conscious person turns to God, and also the God-conscious person turns to other living entities to cooperate together to serve God. Like this question you asked yesterday about prayer and so forth. But so that prayer, which is the universal prayer, I'm sure you've heard Prabhupada speaking, you know, there's a yearning for one religion, one prayer, and one, that it's already there. There's diversity, but that one most powerful, especially in this age, most powerful prayer is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Specifically in scripture. There was there's a little passage in Lilamrita where Prabhupada describes when he was two, and somehow he expresses he can remember things when he was very small. He remembers this and that when he was very small. So when he was two, there was a plague in Calcutta. And people were in a panic because there was a plague. And there was one, according to Lilamrita, there was one Babaji. Now, it doesn't say he's, you know, a Hare Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu follower, but he had faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna. So the Babaji went about here and there in Calcutta with some persons, I hope they were social distancing themselves, but chanting, you don't know how the plague was being spread, but chanting Hare Krishna mantra. And very quickly, at least in Calcutta, the plague stopped, or subsided at least. We have that faith. And even doing such things as kirtan, we can do in false ego, I'm going to go rescue the world or something. We shouldn't think like that. Go and save the conditioned souls, because we're conditioned souls. So it's being an instrument of a higher will and so forth. That's the term that's used in text 17 is sad. Bhava yukta. Yukta means engaged or practice. And sadbhava means existence that is pure. So the demigods are granted powers because sadbhava, their existence is pure. And if they slip and become proud of the opulence that they're carrying, then they become conditioned souls. And Krishna doesn't like that, so Krishna helps them. You know I'll end with this. Because someone was just asking me about this the last couple of days through email. Krishna's killing of demons in Vrindavan. And how does it work that Krishna's killing of demons in Vrindavan helps to relieve us of tendencies that are demoniac tendencies within us? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes it. He uses this language. Krishna has his Nitya Lila, eternal pastimes. Same as in the spiritual world, same here. And he has his, it's translated, occasional pastimes, or naimitika, which is the same root as nimitta, the same verbal root. He has occasional pastimes, it's pastimes of this world, such as the birth pastime, and we celebrate it, but there's no birth pastime in Goloka. And then killing of demons, there's no demon-killing pastimes in Goloka. But it's here for instruction purposes. The demons that confront Krishna are arrangements of Krishna. To help us, specifically the demons in Vrindavan, because in Vrindavan there's no demons. Now, when he goes out and about, there's demons in Mathura and so forth, but the ones that come to Vrindavan, these are, many of them, are agents of Kamsa, and his explanation is Krishna is arranging for those worldly devotees, you know, us, that are one foot in this place and one foot in that place, to become relieved of those tendencies that require. So there's potency in the pastimes of killing the demons just by hearing the pastimes. Not imaginary. There's potency in that sound vibration. And by hearing that sound vibration, one can be relieved. Not like, okay, I heard that one, so now I'm relieved. But there's potency in the pastime. And part of what the commentary is doing is helping us understand specifically here, this is Krishna's contemplation. He's relieving those who have pride in power that has been invested in them, thinking themselves, they're the Lord of that power, they're the Lord. No, we're not demigods, but we have some power or capacity to do X, Y, Z. And we may, by conditioned tendencies, think, you know, I can do X, Y, Z, and not be conscious of our being an instrument of Krishna to use X, Y, Z in his service. Hearing this pastime, celebrated pastime, it covers several chapters. It's a very important pastime. That is a pastime. Now, Indra's not a demon, but it's listed in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Krishna's helping the conditioned devotee become relieved by hearing the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, where Krishna confronts tendencies that are impure, obstacles for us on the path of reaching pure bhakti. Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are very special like that. So that doesn't mean, okay, let me just go read Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and forget everything else. We won't understand the pastimes properly. We won't understand Krishna properly. We won't understand anything properly, ourselves and the world we're in and so forth, without the earlier portions of the Bhagavatam. But here we are with Canto 10, Chapter 25, so we're hearing Krishna's contemplation. Indra, Vayu, a lesson for the others who are sadbhava personalities, who are endowed with demigod powers. Us, Krishna wants to help us become free, so he's performing a pastime that glorifies Govardhan, mitigates the distress of the devotees in Vrindavan because of the harassment of Indra. And, you know, although it's a Vraja Leela, it fits our situation in our conditioned life here in Chicago. It's eternally perfect. And there's potencies within the narration at any time, in any place in the world. Let's see if there's some discussion. Yes. Do we have a microphone, portable microphone? Whatever you did to get rid of that sound, very good. Thank whoever guided you how to get rid of that sound. Go ahead.
Maharaj, I was thinking about the position of a devotee.
Which of a devotee?
The position of a devotee.
The position of a devotee.
Yeah. Like, every day we make, we need to have some intention. Like, I'm going to chant my rounds. That's an intention.
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm going to go dress the deities. That's an intention.
Yes.
We have the intention, but at the same time, like, how does the devotee, like, remain free from false ego that I'm doing it? Like, how do the two, like...
Well, it's simple, but it's, you know, it's not easy to achieve. The simplicity is, who are you? And... not, you know, I'm spirit soul. I'm not the body. That's a beginning. That's good. I'm not the mind. That's good too. And then, besides who you are, who are you? So, I'm spirit soul, part of Krishna, meant for service of Krishna. How to overcome false ego is the power of bhakti. The power of bhakti can overcome that false ego. Now, we're mixed devotees. So we have false ego still operating, like not some of the time. So how to overcome that tendency is the cultivation of bhakti. Just like that text that I sent you. Now, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a means to overcome that tendency. I'll repeat what Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, or wrote, when one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this isn't verbatim, but it's the essence of his message. When one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without offense, then there is an effect. And the effect is, he uses this nice word, effaces, not a common word we use in our everyday language, but it's a Bhaktisiddhanta dictionary type of thing. Effaces means to gradually wear away or to remove. An example given in the dictionary is just like coin rubbing against other coins, gradually the date on the coin becomes effaced. So, the chanting of Hare Krishna mantra effaces the gross and subtle body. And when the gross and subtle body are effaced, because the false ego is part of the subtle body, then the glory of the soul becomes disclosed. So we're not there yet, because we're not offenselessly chanting. But even with offenselessly chanting, the language of his text says gradually, so we have to keep practicing, and gradually the effacing of the gross and subtle body, they're still there, but they're no longer predominating, and then the glory of the soul and the glory of Krishna and the Krishna's form. And his point is, we don't need anything independently of contemplating or something, something, something. We just, everything is there in the name. So, in response to your question, it's not that we shouldn't have a plan. We shouldn't have material plans. And the plan needs to be Krishnaized, and, you know, for the pleasure of Krishna and sanctioned by Krishna. And other plans, we just like leave them aside, because we're conditioned to other plans. We're also conditioned to doing even good things in false ego. Whatever those good things might be. Giving charity or something. Okay. It's practice, cultivation of our dormant Krishna consciousness. That's bhakti. Bhakti can dissolve false ego. It has that power.
Maharaj, there is this mention that Krishna removes the pride of Indra to bring auspiciousness for him.
For Indra?
Yes, yes. For Indra. So, I was thinking that, even as devotees, is it possible that somebody is getting corrected to bring auspiciousness for that devotee, or would it be considered as fault-finding? Like, is it possible that, you know, we could go to a devotee and say, do this, you know, this is good for you, or would it be more...
Well, everything depends upon the consciousness behind what we say and do. Certainly, the answer to your question is yes. Can it be? Certainly. And are there degrees of purity? Certainly. One can wish that for another person with some blend of false ego. Certainly. But that doesn't mean we don't say such a thing. We try to do that thing in the mood of service. And we may be silent instead of say that thing, but sound vibration has a purifying effect.
Would it be appropriate to, pray to Krishna and then go and approach somebody? Or just, you know, it could be also that just leave it to Krishna and Krishna will take care of them.
Or 10 other possibilities. You know, there's not a right way, wrong way. It's the consciousness behind it. Do we have anything online?
No.
Nothing. Okay. Do you have the Prabhupada key?